Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Praise be to God. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it because we have a choice. Everyone say, I have a choice. I have the power to choose. I am a new creation in Christ. Old things pass away, and all things become new. Now, if you believe it, you receive it, and you execute it. Has everybody got it? If you don't believe it, you're not going to execute it. Now, God has already given us a measure of faith to execute anything he says. So none of us has any excuse for ever going back where we came from, touching the things of the past, becoming compromised and lazy, complacent. None of us has any excuse, not one. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Because he's already done it for us. That's all he's saying is walk in it. Just walk in it. That's all we got to do is walk in it. See, the problem is people lose sight. One of the things the devil does is steal people's identity. They lose who they are. And one of the things that the devil always does is he exchanges trust for fear and pride for humbleness. Does everybody get it? So that we begin to trust in ourselves again. And let me tell you, if you can't discern that exchange, you're in trouble. Why? Because conviction always follows. And when we're not receiving conviction, we're dangerous. When we're avoiding conviction and rejecting conviction, we are dangerous. We become God's enemy. Does everybody get this? You know, we are in such a time and season right now. It's phenomenal what's getting ready to happen and what's going on. I can't tell you how many people I've spoke to who have no idea what's going on. They're all busy in their life and all kinds of stuff. And they're trying to move things quickly in their life before things happen. Not realizing that what awaits me and you in the eternal is so much greater than anything that could be offered here. So much greater. Would you go to the book of James chapter 4? Hallelujah. James chapter 4 and starting at verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's speak at James chapter 4 and verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? That means feelings. Isn't a desire a feeling? Amen. So the enemy's always trying to press you with emotional feeling, isn't he? He's trying to dictate your life through how you feel. In fact, the doctrine of Satan says, do what you feel like. So if you're a person that's led by feelings, you're dangerous. You cannot be trusted. He says, you lust. What's lust? It's an overwhelming desire, isn't it? Amen. You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. And when you do ask, you don't get it because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your ungodly desires. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So when we're acting and associating with an area that we become approval of the way the world lives compared to the way God requires us to live, we become God's enemy. Does everybody get this? So when we're out there using drugs and pornography and lust and all kinds of other things going on there, touching unclean things, acting like the world, we become God's enemy. Why? Because you have agreed with the voice of the stranger that says, do what you feel like. He's impressing you a desire that is now dictating your life. You've fallen out of divine order. The character, divine character has been diminished. Divine favor has been removed. And divine protection is being removed until that realigning is back in place again. Is everybody okay? Look at what this says. Or do you think that the scripture says, in vain the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but God gives more grace. Everyone say more grace.
More grace.
That means he gives you more of his plan. Listen, he isn't going to give you more of his plan if he can't trust you with what he's given you already. And if you're not using what he's given you already, he will never give you more. You know why people go to try to get more? You know who gives them more? The enemy. It's called deception. So yet they're okay when God is sitting over here waiting for that person to come back and finish what they told him to do. And the enemy's giving them something else and distracting what God's will is. See, the serpent's not stupid. Lucifer was created with wisdom. He'll outwit any person. Let me tell you, he'll outwit any believer that's not in the spirit. Why? Because only in the spirit can you see things through. Other than that, you're short-sighted. Why? Because you're still about you. Has everybody got it? See, God's not, he's looking for children, relationship that are willing to serve. He's not looking for servants. He's not looking for servants. He's looking for those who are one with him to serve. Why? Because he's looking for those who express him in love and character and truth. In fact, the word says something powerful. It says the Father looks for those who will worship him in truth and spirit. That means all of your heart. All of your heart. See, when we come to worship, we should be going after the Lord, not compromising. There needs to be endurance, not just sitting down. Oh, I'm tired. Oh, shut up. Get off your blessed assurance and worship the King of Glory. You might touch his heart and he might change yours from being hardened and being prideful. Does everybody understand? We are to fight all the way through. Other than that, we're considered prideful. I've done my duty. I'm enough. No, that's not what he's looking for. He's looking for those who are willing to go after him with all of their heart. Why? Because that's the one he can trust. Not ones that are half worshipers, half followers, those that only believe when they feel like it, those only follow when they feel like it. No, we're to be ready in season and out. Does everybody get it? Listen, again, we have no excuse. It's already been given to us to do. It's already been granted to me and you. Amen? It says in verse 6, for he gives more grace, therefore God does what? He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Submit to God. Submit to God. You know how many people put other things before God? Let me tell you, without the presence of the Lord, you and I are nothing. We're nothing. And if you just have the word, you're nothing but religious, because you only have the letter, and the letter kills and the spirit brings life. You better be backed by the anointing, because if you're not backed by the anointing, that's all you're doing is throwing seeds at the devil and he's laughing at you. Why? Because he knows you're not backed by power. The only thing you're backed by is knowledge. And knowledge will puff you up. Amen? And the Spirit will humble you. So God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, then he'll flee from you. But you first got to submit to God. That means you know what you got to do? Get in his presence as much as possible. And worship when you have the time to get in his presence. When you go after him with all of your heart, everything. You lay everything down. You pour out your heart to him. You let go. Why? Because so then you can allow conviction to come. So that you can allow counsel and correction and direction to come. So that your heart can be softened and you can receive. Because you can't receive with a hardened heart. Other than that, you're still living for you and not for him. Does everybody grab hold of that? If you're still living for you and not for him, you're dangerous. And you're out of order. Amen? Go to 1 Peter chapter 5. People wonder why they fall and they go back into cycles and they do the same old thing again. Because they're not serious. They're not serious. And the enemy is distracting them, putting them things in front. You know what? The word says something. The Lord is my shepherd, I won't want. Why? Because you won't lack. If you're lacking something, obviously there's an open door somewhere. There's an open door. Why? The devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. There's an open door. In verse 6, what does it say? Chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore what? Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in what? Due time. So listen, in his presence it brings us humbleness. If you're really seeking him with all of you got, you will become humble. You will be willing to submit to God. You will be able to resist the devil. Why? Then it says, and then the Lord will exalt you. In other words, he's going to release the promise after you've done what you're supposed to do. But too many people don't do what they're supposed to do. They only do it when they feel like it. Then he says, cast all your care upon him, for he what? For you, he cares for you. In other words, quit trying to fix yourself. It's real simple. You get in God's presence, he fixes you. It's like where the scripture talks about when that one man that was blinded and he was paralyzed and all kinds of stuff. And there was all people waiting around the well to get in. And everybody would jump in. The first one in got healed. When the angel came down and stirred the water. You don't think those people were fighting one another getting that well, in that pond, whatever it was? They were waiting, man. Jumped in. But the one guy couldn't move, and he waited for years at that place. And finally, the Lord shows up, and he says, what can I do for you? And he's complaining. Man, everybody gets in before me because I can't move. Okay, the Lord says, well, what do you want? Well, I want to get healed. But where was he? He was in the presence of God. See, the man was still waiting to get in the water to get healed when the healer was standing in front of him. Does everybody get this? Oh, hallelujah. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may what? Devour, take, steal, kill, destroy, deceive, distract, promote pride. To be sober is to be alert. To be vigilant is to be what? Consistent. Too many people have no endurance. They're not consistent enough. They're not first strikers. They wait to get hit first. Oh, the enemy's beating me up. Well, why don't you beat him up first? You wouldn't have this problem. Oh, the enemy deceived me. Well, why don't you kick his butt first? Why don't you muzzle his mouth, bind him, blind him, mute him, and deaf him? Why don't you kick him out of your life, kick him out of your finances, kick him out of your health, and kick him out of your family? Well, I didn't think of that. Of course not, because you're not consistent. You're not alert. You know, people are blaming the devil. It's you and I that are responsible. And listen, the devil's always going to knock and says, hey, anybody in there? People are answering the door. Knock, knock. Who's there? It's Lucifer. Oh, who's Lucifer? I'm your neighbor. Do you have any sugar, Eichenbauer? Sure, what are you going to use it for? Your death. Or giving him stuff to kill us with. Hallelujah. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Listen, everybody gets attacked in the same way. Of course, the devil will tell you, you're the only one. No, you're one of the only ones that's allowing them in your life. Amen? I'll tell you what God's doing right now. Go to Acts 17. Anybody ever see a stopwatch? You know, like when somebody's getting ready to race, and they go through the finish line, and they, yeah, that's the time. And for the race to start do it again, they have to reset the time. I saw a time clock, the same thing, and the Lord was hitting it. And I'm thinking, well, you're resetting time. He said, no, I'm resetting boundaries. Boundaries, why? Because it's associated with God's time. God is resetting boundaries right now. And let me tell you, they're getting narrower. Acts chapter 17. Hallelujah! Don't be upset, just repent and start over again. Hit that button. Reset. Is everybody with me? Acts 17, verse 22. Let's speak it. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. You got all this knowledge. You meditate on all kinds of stuff and have no relationship. You're very religious. For I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, your idols. I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Obviously, there was one that didn't have an idol. We don't know who he is. In other words, there must be one we don't know. We only have 45,000 of them out here. There's got to be one of them we don't know. Therefore, the one whom you don't know, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And look at here. Are you ready for this? 26. Read it with me. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has what? Determined their what? Pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings. In other words, he has pre-appointed the times and boundaries. In other words, we are in a pre-appointed season right now where he's resetting the boundaries. Has everybody got this? We are in a season where he's resetting boundaries. He's hit the time clock. Why? Because time's about to run out. And he's resetting boundaries in our life. He says, so that they should seek the Lord and hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own prophets have said. For we are also his what? His offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone or something shaped by the art of man's devising. For truly, these times of ignorance and stupidity, God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to what? Repent. In other words, turn from what is offensive to the Lord and get back into boundaries. And I'm telling you right now, what the Spirit was sharing with me is God is resetting the boundaries for this season that we are in, because it is a specific time and season that's been pre-appointed by God. So in pre-appointed times and seasons, He resets boundaries. Why? To protect us. To what? Protect us. To prepare us. To prosper us. And so that we can be used for infiltration and the last day harvest of rescue. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Now look, at truly these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to turn, because He has appointed a day on which He will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom He has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising Him from the dead. In other words, what's He talking about? He's talking about, look, I'm resetting boundaries because of this specific time where the Lord is going to return. That's what He's saying. And God right now is reset boundaries. He's resetting them. He's resetting them in our lives. He's resetting them in our thoughts. He's resetting them in our businesses. He's resetting them in everything, in our character. And everything that is going on in our life, God is resetting boundaries, and they are getting narrower. In John chapter 8. John chapter 8 and verse 1. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now early in the morning He came again into the temple, and all the people came to Him, and He sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought Him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to Him, Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? This they said, testing Him, that they might have something to which to accuse Him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the ground with His finger as though He did not hear. And I'm telling you, when I read this morning, I saw the Lord put His finger in the sand and draw a line. And in this line, He was setting a boundary. So when they continued asking Him, He raised Himself up and He said to them, He who is without sin among you, let him throw the stone at her first. Oh, man, He was setting a new boundary for them. He said, okay, we're going to go somewhere else. We're going to come out of the law. We're going to come into another boundary that I'm reestablishing, because I'm here and I'm going to reset the boundaries. Because it's another time. It's a pre-appointed time. It was a pre-appointed time of Jesus' visitation. And He was resetting boundaries. He draws a line in the sand and He says to them, okay, any one of you that has not sinned, throw the first stone. Well, man, they never heard that before. They were so busy looking at everybody else's dirty laundry, they forgot how much dirty laundry they had. And again, He stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it being convicted, they finally got convicted. See, they ain't felt conviction in a long time because they've been so prideful, looking at everybody else's garbage and telling everybody else how bad they were. Then those who heard it being convicted. I want you to understand, it says those who heard it. Those who what? Heard it. They didn't just listen. They did what? They heard. See, hearing and listening is two different things. A lot of people listen, they go, yeah. And you know they're going to just walk away, and they're going to go right back to what they said they were, what they said they were going to do, but they didn't fulfill what they were going to do, because they're only listening, not hearing. And they won't, because see, a person that listens cannot be convicted, only a person that hears. Then those who heard it being convicted by their conscience went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus raised Himself up and saw no one but the woman, He said to her, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? She said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and what? Sin no more. What did He do? He set a precedence. He set a boundary. What did He say? I forgive you, but don't come over this boundary again. Don't sin no more. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. I love this. This is so powerful. Now look at this, at verse 12, because this is the kicker. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who what? Follows me. He who what? Follows me. Man, He was setting a whole different boundary, man. Everything was being changed right then. He was telling, look, here's the boundary of forgiveness. Don't sin anymore. Repent and turn away. And here's the set boundary that I'm establishing. Follow me. Why? Well, he says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have light of life. Again, he made that boundary in the sand. Go ahead, cast the first stone, resetting conviction, resetting boundaries. Only those who follow will escape the trap of the enemy. Does everybody understand it? Why? Because light always exposes darkness. In Luke 13, is everybody okay? Resetting boundaries. That's the name of the title for anyone that wants to know. Resetting boundaries. I get that question all the time. What's the title? I won't go there. Praise God. Verse 23. Then one said to Jesus, Lord, are there few who are saved? And Jesus said to them, strive to enter through the what? Narrow gate. Is that a boundary? Yes, it's narrow, isn't it? For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be what? Able. Who? Many will seek to enter but will not be able to. Again, these boundaries are narrow. Does everybody get this? They are getting narrow. Why? Because it's a pre-appointed season. Go to Matthew 7. Matthew 7. In verse 13. It says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to what? Destruction. So the boundaries are being narrowed. When people begin to walk over the boundaries, they're walking into destruction. And there are many who go in by it. Many walk over the boundaries. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few who what? There are few who find it. That's pretty sad, isn't it? And it's because they live according to how they feel instead of living according to truth. They're still living for themselves. They spend more time living for themselves and fulfilling themselves than they do fulfilling the will of God. Is everybody all right? Anybody all right? Yep. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah. Resetting boundaries. Yes, God is resetting everybody's boundaries in the body of Christ. In other words, when he resets boundaries, he resets priorities. If you're not willing to fall into that priority, you cannot fall into the boundaries. Has everybody got it? See, what you love the most is what you worship. And what you love the most and worship is what you serve the most. 2 Corinthians 6, 16. Would you read it with me? Or do you not know that the... I'm almost there. There we go. And what agreement has the temple of God with what? Idols. For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I'll be their God, and they'll be my people. If you do what? If you come out from among them. If you come out from that boundary that the Lord is setting to walk in the narrow boundary. If you come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. In other words, you're no longer flowing according to the world. You no longer do things according to the world. You no longer do business according to the world. You no longer react according to the world. You no longer associate things with people according to... Everything is being narrowed. There's more of an integrity. There's more in an area where Christ is being expressed. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and don't touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And I'll be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Listen, relationship. That's what God is looking for, isn't he? Relationship. Relationship. So the boundaries are being tightened up so that relationship can be established. Not intellectual knowledge or works, but relationship. Come out and come into the narrow path. Come out of the world's way and come into the narrow path that leads to eternal life. And Revelation 18. You know, anybody ever remember that flick Bob Newhart? Was it him? He was a psychologist or whatever. He was a comedian psychologist. And there was this one episode that they showed, and I laughed so hard. And it was about this woman that was wanting counsel. And he was charging her, like, I think it was like $5. He said, you got $5, 5 minutes. Anyway, she kept trying to, he would listen to her, and the 5 minutes was up, and he says, okay, that'll be $5. And she says, we haven't told me anything. He said, well, that's going to be another $5. I listened for 5 minutes. For me to tell you something, it's going to be $5. He said, but I'll give you a discount. If it takes me a minute, then I'll only charge you $1 a minute. So she goes, well, what's the counsel? He said, stop it. Just stop it. Amen. Or I'll bury you alive. Because her fear was being buried alive. She kept complaining, I have a dream I'm going to be buried alive. So he said, well, just stop it. And of course, then he used, or I'll bury you alive. And I think God's saying that sometimes. We're looking for all of this stuff. And he's saying, just stop it. It's real simple. S-T-O-P-I-T. Stop it. Put on the brakes. Just stop it. Step back. Step out of your puddle of deception and affliction. And look what's happened. Analyze the circumstances. And what doors are open, shut. And what's affecting you through pride, arrogance, deception, whatever it is, lust, just stop it and step out of it. And do what? Decree. Worship. Get back in. Don't let guilt and condemnation keep you out of there. Get back into that narrow path. Because somehow one foot's out. One foot's out of the boundary and the other one is in. And you're hanging between two worlds. And by hanging between two worlds, you will die. There's only one realm. Only one path that leads to life. Only one. Amen? Revelation 18. Is everybody okay? Yeah. Just what? Stop it! Verse 1. Revelation 18, verse 1. And after these things, I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having great authority. And the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great has fallen, and has become a dwelling place of what? Demons. In other words, its hedge of protection has been destroyed. It's been taken over demonic influence. It's no longer a godly nation. A prison of every foul spirit and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice coming from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins. What is he saying? Come out of the way of the sinfulness of the world. What? Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Stop drinking the deception that promotes lust. Lest you receive of her what? Her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render to her just as she has rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works in the cup which she has mixed with double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and lived luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow. For she says in her heart, I sit as what? Queen, and am no widow, and will not see sorrow. Therefore her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine. She will be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judges her. The kings of the earth who committed fornication and lived luxuriously with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, the great city Babylon and the mighty city, for in 1 hour her judgment has come. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, and every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of most precious wood, bronze and iron and marble and cinnamon and incense and fragrant oils and frankincense, wine and oil and fine flour and wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, chariots, and bodies and souls of men. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. Again, in this arena, we're talking about Babylon, which is not only a system, but it's a belief system. Well, there's only places that I know where it talks about a queen. One of them is the Queen of Heaven through Catholicism, and the other one is the Queen of the European Empire. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. He says, come out. Why? Because there's going to be many false prophets coming out of these systems. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, come out from among them. Why? So God can reset the boundaries for me and you. One of the areas is we're going to need to reset boundaries is monitoring our thoughts. Too many people just accept everything they hear, and then they react. They're willing to believe what they hear instead of truth first. They're actually more concerned about the voice. They're listening to the voice of a stranger than they listen to more than the voice of God. Why is that? Because of their lack of sincereness of seeking the Lord with all their heart and feeding their spirit. Is everybody all right? In verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Those are memory lies. Where do they come from? Your future? No, from your past. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity into the obedience of Christ. You ever talk to someone and they say, well, this is just how I am? Wait a minute, I thought you said you're a new creation in Christ. Why are you still doing that? Well, that's just how I am. Well, you've gone backwards, not gone forward. You know why? Usually, let me tell you one of the first things that occur, lack of prayer. That's the first thing, lack of prayer. Why? Because only prayer can give you enough strength to get into God's presence to seek Him with all your heart. See, people become ritualistic in prayer instead of taking it to heart. So it's now head knowledge and not heart knowledge. Why? Because they've been saying the prayers multiple. Man, I've been saying certain prayers for the same prayer every day for years because I'm a first striker. So I attack. That's my ritual, man. I go after the powers of darkness. I'm an attacker first. God can speak to me while we're walking, and sometimes He'll speak to me even in my prayer time. Sometimes He'll show me things. Sometimes before I'm just on my way to prayer, He'll say something to me, whatever it may be. But my prayer time is not a prayer time in an area where it's intimacy. My prayer time in that time is an area of warfare. I am an interceder. I bind blind, mute, and deaf. I call destructive fire down. I attack the powers of darkness. That's my prayer time. Then when I'm done, we communicate. But that's my responsibility. He expects that from me every day. That's what I do every single day of my life as a new creation in Christ. I attack. I attack. I attack. I attack before I'm attacked. So that anything that comes afterwards, God's allowing for what? Training me. But if I don't attack first, then I've allowed things to happen. If I don't strike first, you will be struck. You know, most people are going, oh God, I need this, I need that. I know what you need. Why don't you fight and make room for me to send what? Because if I send it to you, it's going to be stolen anyways. Because you're not fighting to set a path to receive it. Does everybody understand that? See, you must set a path to receive it. Or else the enemy will steal and interfere everything that you're praying for. And then it takes longer to get it. Then you try to go out and promote it and work it. And then it's no longer a blessing. It's a self-imposed blessing, not a blessing from God. Then you got to take care of it, and God doesn't. Anything that God blesses you with, He takes care of, unless it becomes a curse to you and an idol. Is everybody all right? So He says, listen, these strongholds are memory lies from your past. Why? Well, we need to get rid of those. He says, cast those down, sever it. Why? Look at, isn't a thought always attached to a feeling? It's attached to a vision too, isn't it? There's a picture there. Many thoughts are associated. Look at how much music affects us. I mean, you'd be walking in a mall somewhere or whatever, and whoop, that music comes on, brings you to your past. Something occurs, brings you. But see, there's an area where you're backed by the anointing, and you may hear, but it doesn't bring you to your past. It may bring a flash, but it doesn't bring you back. It just flashes, and you just push it aside. Amen? So it's our responsibility. Look at, and casting down, verse 5, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It's our responsibility to bring every thought into captivity. It's amazing where people are not bringing it. Look at, they're not grabbing hold of that thought. Let me see what it is. No. See, man, it's like, you know, when you score a touchdown in football, what do they do? They spike the ball. Bam! Yeah! Well, when you grab hold of that thought that's against God, you should be spiking it. Pow! Casting it down. Why? Because you scored. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedient when your obedience is what? Fulfilled. Oh, hallelujah. So God is setting boundaries of thoughts. He's resetting things. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Hallelujah. In verse 2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Verse 4. By which have been given to us exceedingly and great precious promises, that through these you may be what? Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through what? Lust. That feeling again. But also for this reason, giving all what? Diligence. Okay, he's giving you a guideline. Here's new boundaries. Add to your faith what? Virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance, which is endurance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither what? Barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Christ is able to express himself through you. For he who lacks these things is what? Short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. In other words, that person is not monitoring those thoughts. He's not casting down. That person, those strongholds are still controlling their lives, still living in the past and not the future, still living for themselves. Listen, the devil always wants to bring you first in life. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will what? You will never what? Stumble. You will never stumble. So, for an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other words, here's the resetting boundaries to bring you where? To bring you to the entrance of the kingdom. Again, I believe God is resetting boundaries, not only of character and fruitfulness, but health and business and everything else that he's doing in our lives. Why? Because it's a narrow path that's leading home now. In Zechariah 4. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians first. 1 Corinthians 3. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9. Is everybody there? 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9, let's speak it together. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed in how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clearer. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as through fire. But you, do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Let no one deceive himself. Anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool, that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For there is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos, Cephas, world or the world or life or death, or the things present or the things to come, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Again, in this area, God is resetting these boundaries. And in these boundaries, he's resetting not only in preparation for me and you, but to fit in the time, the appointed time right now. Why? Because many things are going to start to occur outside of the boundaries. Amen? While we're here, I'm going to go to chapter 15. In verse 33, 1 Corinthians 15:33. Let's speak it together. Do not be what? Say it again. Don't be what? Evil company corrupts. In other words, God is resetting associations. He's resetting associations. You're either going to follow it or you're not. You're going to either associate and be in fellowship with those who approve ungodliness or not. That's why the Lord says, seek those who live out of a pure heart. Amen? Those are our associations. like-minded, like will, like faith. Many will fall because of associations. Why? Because evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have this knowledge of God. I speak to them to their what? Your shame. Now I'll go to Zechariah 4. Now I've shared all this to get to this. Hallelujah. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who was wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, what do you see? What did he say to him? What do you see? Hello. That's what God asks us every day. What do you see? Most people are, see what? What do you see? See, if you're out of the boundaries, you can't see. Only in the boundary can you see. Why? Because anything that's out of the boundary is blinded. And he said to me, what do you see? And so I said, I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, seven lamps with seven pipes to the seven lamps. Two olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at the left. So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. And he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the what? Capstone. Who's the capstone? Jesus. With shouts of grace, grace to it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. Again, I believe right now the Lord is crushing some people's foundation to be reset. Because it's flawed, there's cracks, it's not right, it's weak. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands shall also finish it. Then you will know that the Lord of hosts has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? For these seven rejoice to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. What's a plumb line for? Boundaries. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. Then I answered and I said to him, what are these two olive trees at the right of the lampstand and at its left? And I further answered and said to him, what are these two olive branches that drip into the receptacles of the two gold pipes from which the golden oil drains? Then he answered me and said, do you not know what these are? And I said, no, my Lord. And he said, these are the two anointed ones who stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. The two anointed ones that stand beside the Lord of the whole earth. What was he doing? He was setting up boundary in preparation to release the two anointed ones. I want to show you who the two anointed ones are. Go to Matthew 17. Do you see the connection of the resetting of the boundaries and the release of the two anointed ones? Oh, hallelujah. Matthew 17. Is everybody there? We'll start at verse 1. Now after 6 days, oh hallelujah, one day with the Lord is equal to 1,000 years. After 6,000 years, you know we're in it already. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, led them up on a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before him. Jesus changed in front of them. He showed who he really was. These guys freaked out, man. And he transfigured himself before them. His face shone like the sun. And his clothes became as white as the light. And behold, who came beside the Lord on each side? Moses and Elijah appeared to them, talking with him. Does everybody see that? So who were the anointed witnesses? Moses and Elijah. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. What else could he say? If you wish, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. Not listen to him. Hear him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. You betcha. Man, what they just saw, hallelujah. So who are the two witnesses? Moses and Elijah, Revelation 11. God's resetting boundaries. Why? In preparation for the return of Moses and Elijah. Does everybody get this? That boundary is reset for me and you to go home. Why? Because they're the ones that are going to lead us home. Revelation 11 and verse 1. Then I was given a reed like a measuring rod. What is that? It's a boundary. Does everybody get it? He's setting another boundary, isn't he? And the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar, and those who worship there. But leave out the court which is outside the temple. That's outside the what? Boundaries. And do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. Well, hello. We're no longer Gentiles. You know that, right? And they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months, which is 3.5 years. And I'll give power to my two witnesses. And they will prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees. Oh, the ones that we just talked about in Zechariah. And the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this manner. These have power to shut heaven. It's Elijah. And that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood. Who's that? Moses. And to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, which also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days. 3.5 days. Does everybody get this? This is a fulfilled 3.5 years. Does everybody? Hello. Oh, glory. And not allow their dead bodies to be put into the graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, making merry and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. Why? Now listen. Everything will be televised. They'll see these prophets showing up all over in Israel. They'll be decreeing certain things. Things are going to be happening. They're going to cause problems. They're going to prophesy things to happen. So they're going to actually, why? Because their seals are broken, trumpets are sounded, these prophets are going to be calling them in and fulfilling it. And it says here, verse 11, now after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on all those who what? Saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, hello, is anybody out there? Is anybody awake yet? You better get in those boundaries before I call you home. And then they heard a loud voice from heaven saying, stop it, for I bear you alive. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw it. And let me tell you, in that same hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell in the earthquake. 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Oh, hallelujah. Does everybody see this? So one of the things we're going to need is discernment. We need discernment to maintain in these boundaries. Proverbs 2, glory to God. Resetting boundaries. Proverbs chapter 2. You know, people that are afraid are so afraid of all the things that are getting ready to happen is because they're not in the boundaries. If you're in the boundaries, there's no fear. Proverbs chapter 2. In verse 1, my son, if you receive my words, treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom. Again, if you receive my words, what have we talked about? You believe, you receive, and you what? Execute. If you don't believe, you're not going to execute. But you've already given a measure of faith to believe. So what you're doing is you're just choosing to reject it. My son, if you receive my words, treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Verse 3, read it with me. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness, justice, and equity in every good path. Discernment. We cry out for discernment. Lord, grant me discernment. Why? So that when I get close to these boundaries that you've reset, I get electrocuted. A hand comes out and slaps me. I don't care what happens, but don't let me go over those boundaries. Philippians chapter 1. Oh, hallelujah. You know, the enemy has traps set up for us. So what he tries to do is distract us so we focus on something else while we step on a mine. We don't even realize we did. And everything begins to collapse. Philippians chapter 1, is everyone there? In verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confident and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you with all the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may what? Abound still more and more in knowledge and all what? Discernment. And that you may approve the things that are excellent, and that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. I want to close in Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3. So in your warfare time, one of the things you want to ask for is discernment. Wisdom, knowledge, understanding, discernment. Malachi chapter 3. In verse 6, I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me and I'll return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, in what way we have robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, and you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance, and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him. For those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. Now on the day that I make them my jewels, I will spare them, as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve God. Oh, hallelujah. Resetting boundaries. Why? Because we are in a new pre-appointed time and preparation for a seven-year treaty and preparation for the two prophets to come and in preparation to go home. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. I ask that you protect this seed and allow it to grow and bear fruit for your glory, and that you'll grant everyone here discernment in Jesus' mighty name.